good to see you today. Let's stand. We're going to sing together. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's welcome Him in this place today. God, open up the heavens. Send Your glory. Send Your power and Your presence.
Your glory, Lord.
hearts. Lord, we want to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church family. This is Miss Allie. Allie accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior at home with her parents in the living room. Allie, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. The influence of parents is critical in the spiritual life of a child. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for parents that are willing to teach the word to their kids. Lord, I pray today as we come to worship you online and worship you in this place, that you accept our praise and our honor and our glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis. Welcome to you today. Thank you for coming, being here in this place. If you're a guest with us, hope you'll take a guest card there in front of you in the pew rack, fill it out on both sides, put it in the offering plate when it comes by. And again, welcome. Glad that you are here for this second morning service on this first Sunday in August. Want to encourage you to do something for me this week. If you know somebody been thinking about coming back to join us, or tell them don't miss church next Sunday. Next Sunday's a great day to be here. Or if you're not comfortable, can't get here, make sure they're online. You don't want to miss church next Sunday. One of the most exciting days we've had in a long, long, long time. Just trust me about that. You don't want to miss church next Sunday, all right? So you be here for one of those two services. Invite some friends or encourage them to connect with us online, as many are doing during these days. Well, welcome. Glad you're here. John is back after being gone for a day or two, and delighted that he and this group's here to lead us this morning. You join them with your voice and heart as we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as we focus now on the cross of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand together. John, come lead us as we sing.
We'll sing this great hymn together, When I Survey the Cross.
When I survey the
head. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God giving his all, his very best for you and me. Let's return our all, our very best to him this morning. Sing this, We're the Whole Realm of Nature.
Small, chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night.
Sing it.
Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living.
Sing hallelujah, come on.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation. Body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Yeah, let's sing it in. Come on, then came.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Yeah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Broken every chain.
Father, thank you for the abundance that you pour out in this place. Father, not only with tithe and offering, but with gift, life of people to serve, thank you for blessing us. Lord, our cups run over today because of your goodness unto us. Lord, help us now to be found faithful, giving back the first fruit of our income, that the church might go and do that that you've called us to be about. Bless and comfort with the good things of your grace, Judy Steele, her children, her grandchildren. Lord, we thank you for Gene Steele's legacy, all that he left in us in this place. We are grateful for him. Lord, I pray today that you would send the wind of heaven in this place, save the lost, expand the church, and have your way in every heart and soul and life. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated as these gentlemen come and receive the gifts of God's good people this day.
Sing that, church. Swing wide. Come on.
Swing wide, all you heavens. Let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound. All his children, clean hands, your hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus. Sing wide on your heavens. Let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation.
Thank you, gang. Take your Bible. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Read through verse number 10. When I get down to verse number 7, I want you to join me out loud reading, and you'll follow along, and we'll find the word of it. Did I tell you I'm excited about next Sunday? Hey, don't miss next Sunday now. I'm just telling you. God's going to sit down. His play is going to challenge us about some things. I'm fired up about next week. Now, don't run by today. God is still here, all right? I read Spurgeon this morning. He said, what are you doing? You go to church today. Don't fall asleep while the preacher's preaching and fall out and break your neck. Like the guy in Acts. He said, because there is no apostle here to raise you from the dead, all right? So you'll just die. We'll carry you out and deal with you later. But don't miss next Sunday. Seriously, you be right here in this place. We're in Galatians chapter 6, talking about the spiritual harvest this morning. Galatians 6, I began reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse number 10. You join me at verse 7 and read to the end of verse 10. Hear now, because this is the word of our great God. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I think we ought to read that verse again. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Verse 7, you pick it up now and read aloud with the pastor. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. The law of the harvest is prominent throughout the Bible. In Matthew 13, Jesus teaches us with the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seed, and some fell on stony ground, some fell on shallow ground, some fell on thorny ground, and some fell on good ground. The harvest. John's gospel records Jesus in chapter 4 and verse 37, where Jesus said, one will sow and another reaps. The psalmist said in Psalm 126, He that sows in tears will reap in joy. Don't miss it in verse number 7. Don't be deceived. I had you read verse 3 where it said, if a man thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. He thinks wrong of himself. But in verse number 7, he says, don't be deceived because you're thinking wrong of God. You can be deceived thinking you're something when you're nothing. But dear friend, don't go to the ultimate deception when you think you can mock God. He's not deceived. For whatever you sow, you will reap. It is an eternal law written in the heavens. What you reap is what you will sow. Don't be deceived. America today is reaping what we have sown. What you see on the evening news is exactly what we have been sowing. Churches have gone to an easy believism with little or no discipleship. Other churches have become so liberal they don't even believe the Bible, and our educational system for the last two generations is taught that God is dead. He doesn't even exist. The Bible is not the Word of God. We've sown that into two generations, and now they burn down Portland, Oregon, and take stacks of Bibles and burn them in the street. America is reaping what we have sown. Don't be deceived. You can't mock God. You can only sow that so long. To say there is no God, you will reap. To hate one another, you will reap. To live in a man-centered, not a God-centered culture, you will reap. I read this week of a prison chaplain was in the jail visiting, and he walked down the corridor and he saw a man in his cell, and he had been rewarded, if you could call it that. He had been given a needle and thread, and he was sewing up some of his jail clothes that had been torn. And the chaplain wasn't sure what to say to him. So he looked at him. He said, young man, are you sowing? He looked up at him. He said, no, sir, I'm reaping. Yeah. What you sow, you will reap. But now don't just turn this passage to the negative side. It's got a glorious side. When you reap the right thing, praise God, there is another kind of harvest. I want us to look at this law of spiritual harvest for a few moments this morning. Show you a couple of three things out of this text. Number one, just what I've been talking about is the principle of spiritual harvest. Three things about that principle. Number one, we reap what we sow. Whatever it is you plant, that's what you reap. If you plant corn, you get corn. You plant corn, you don't get tomatoes. You reap what you sow. Secondly, you reap more than you sow. You put in one seed, you get a stalk of corn 4 ears. You get more than what you sow. In that parable of the sower in Matthew 13 in verse 23, the interpretation comes to tell us that the one that had sown the seed and the good soil is the man who hears the word and he understood it, and indeed he bears fruit and he brings forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. That you reap more than you sow. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 tells us that, and I say as you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, but if you sow bountifully, hallelujah, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You reap what you sow. We reap more than we sow. And we also reap later than we sow. You don't sow this morning and reap this afternoon, 2 o'clock. You sow when the germination comes, and over time comes the harvest. In my summer reading, I'm reading a book called The Splendid and the Vile. It is the story of 1940, from May of 1940 to May of 1941. It is a 12-month period of the city of London during the godless Nazi bombing of Britain, and especially in the city of London. Just before Christmas in 1940, the Nazis bombed London, and the National History Museum caught on fire. The firemen rushed in to put it out, and a few weeks later, they found that in that Natural Museum of History were seeds that were 147 years old. They had washed out and into the ground with water and sunlight, and they germinated. 147-year-old seed. You always harvest later than you sow. But mark it down, you cannot sow but that you reap. It comes every time. It is the principle of the spiritual harvest. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you always will reap later than you sow. But now secondly, we see what I call the produce of the spiritual harvest. What is this fruit that we get? Well, he tells us right here in the text in verse number 8, "For the one that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, notice, what you sow is what you get, but what is the produce that comes? Well, first of all, on the negative side, if you sow to the flesh, notice it. You must read this correctly. Sowing to your own flesh. Not somebody else's, but when you sow to your flesh, what you want, what you desire, not what God wants, but you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. The word is decay. It's putrefaction. It's rottenness. What is the sowing to the flesh? Well, Galatians 5:19 tells us, if you turn back one page, you see it in Galatians 5:19. "Now the deeds of the flesh," if you sow to this, you're going to reap corruption. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. That is pharmakeia. That's the word drug use. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Have you ever seen a nation madder than America is right now? People are angry, angry, angry. If you don't wear a mask, they cuss you out. If you wear a mask, they cuss you out. It doesn't matter what you do, you just get cussed out. It's just anger. It's just boiling up everywhere. People fighting and fussing and feuding, walking out and painting stuff on the street and tearing this up and going, they're just mad. They're sowing to the flesh. And you'll reap corruption. He speaks to it right here. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, faction, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Hosea said it this way in Hosea 8 and verse number 7. If you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. You sow the wind, you get that hurricane. It's off the coast of Miami today. You get the whirlwind. Be careful what you sow. But I got good news. Not only is there a negative side, bless God, hallelujah, there's a positive side to this. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, look what he says in verse number 8, you will reap eternal life.
How do you sow to the Spirit?
Well, Galatians 5 tells us that as well. When you look in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So love, so peace, so joy. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against such as this.
You sow to the Spirit.
How many children I got in here under sixth grade today? Less than sixth grade. All you children, wave at me if you're not sixth grade. Where are you? Less than sixth grade. I see. All right, the pastor's got an assignment for you this week. Before you get here next week, you got to memorize these nine words, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. There you go. See, I don't know them. Good, you got a week to do it. Next Sunday, you're going to line up all the kids right down through here. Anybody can't say them, have to run around the building 20 times. Seriously, I want you to learn. That's your assignment this week. You say, how can I do that? Your mother and daddy is going to learn them too. They'll teach them to you. Sow to the Spirit. And when you sow to the Spirit, the Bible says you reap eternal life. Now don't miss this. This is not going to heaven. You don't sow these things and get eternal life in heaven. No. What he's saying here is that when you sow to the Spirit, your life lives beyond you. You get to heaven through what Jesus did. You go to heaven through the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Eternal life here is the extension of your life. It extends. Even when you're dead, you speak. When you sow to the Spirit, it lives through you. Last week, Brother Sean preached here, a great message out of John 1 on John the Baptist. I listened to it. And some of my friends up in Alabama listen to it. Patty, who was one of my babysitters when I was a boy, she's just a little bit older than I am, and Patty sent me a text this week. She said, Ted, you had a young preacher. Leslie says, did a great job. I enjoyed it. Thank you. And I text her back, and I told him about John. I said, amen. He's with us. And she texts me back, and she said, great to see you growing up, those next generation. I said, I got 12 young preachers all of a sudden, Patty. I can't believe it. And she texted me back. She said, Brother Patton would be so proud of you. You have to understand, Lionel Patton was my pastor when I was just a kid preacher. And if we're doing anything good today through my life, it's because of what Brother Lionel did. He's the one that sowed into my life. And if I've got anything to tell the coming generation, I learned it from that man. He's the guy that let me preach the first time. He used to sit me in the back of his car. Bullhorn out of both, on both windows, had big bullhorns and a microphone. He said, we're going to ride out through the country and you can preach. You just preach. Just practice, preach. We'd go and we'd do it day after day, week after week. I asked him one time, I said, Brother Lyle, I said, there ain't nothing out here but cows. I'll never forget it. He looked back at me and he said, son, when you're ready for people, we'll go to town. He said, right now, you're just ready for bull. That's a bunch of what you're doing. So just preach. And he poured into my life and gave me opportunity later to preach. I'm telling you that his life lives through mine today. When you sow to love and joy and peace. What's the next one? Patience, kindness, goodness. Thank you, God. It's going to take y'all about to Wednesday to get it, all right? When you sow that, your life is extended. It's life eternal. It continues to go. When you sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. He's saying that to the church at Galatia. Paul is speaking to the church, and he's saying, continue. Keep doing it. As you are faithful. As he says in the first part of verse number 9, he says to them, let us not lose heart in doing good. Don't stop. It's because something went bad. Don't stop. Keep going. And when you stumble, get up. Don't stop. Somebody offends you. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Forgiveness. You forgive and you walk forward. When you do, you extend your life. You get bitter. People remember that, and you reap corruption. So to the Spirit. Cast those seeds, and the harvest comes. Amen. But thirdly, he talks not only about this principle that you reap what you sow, and not only the produce of what comes, either corruption or life eternal, but he talks about the promise of spiritual harvest. Look at it in verse number 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap. We will reap. We will. In due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, and in due time. I never knew much about the harvest. I worked in the store. I just knew the stuff showed up. But when I pastored in Texas, I learned a little bit about the harvest. Mr. Schaffner, Leonard Schaffner, called me one day. He said, would you like to come out? We're going to cut wheat today. I said, that sounds pretty cool to me. I've never seen it. I'll go. So I went out there. He said, come get in a tractor. Well, I had to get in a ladder to get in a tractor. I mean, I had like 5 or 6 rungs. And I mean, way up there. I got in. He said, shut the door. He did. He turned on the air conditioner and the radio. I said, this is like working in the corner office right here. He said, yeah, it ain't your granddaddy's farm anymore. I said, well, amen. Man, he cranked that thing up. And here we went through that wheat field. I turned around and looked back. Boy, it was grinding that wheat, and it was throwing it back there. And when it got full, we went over and mashed a button. It picked it up and dumped it where it needed to be. And we just sat there like we were somebody. We went on harvesting. We went through that whole field that day. We got done. He said, Pastor, we're going to have lunch now. But before we go to lunch, we'll go over here and see what the cowboys are doing. I said, yeah, well, what are they doing? They said, well, they're in the harvest too. So I went over, and they had a pen full of calves, and they'd hit a button in the chute gun. That calf would run down there, and then these two metal arms would grab that calf and turn him upside down on his side. One of those cowboys would reach over on the fire, and he'd put that branding iron to it. I can still smell that hide. And they did some other stuff to him while he was down there. Because children are here today, we're not going to talk about that so much, all right? And then they gave them some medicine while they were there. Not in the front end, but in the back end. I said to Leonard, I said, I thought you were talking about the harvest today. He said, well, this is part of the harvest. He said, you like ribeye steak, don't you? I said, well, yeah. He said, you don't want it to be tough, do you? I said, oh, no. He said, if we don't deal with these calves like this, you're not going to enjoy the ribeye you get later on. There was the process of the harvest. But he promised me it would be good. Jesus gives us the promise of the harvest. If you sow, in due time you will reap. Don't you deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. You can't mock God. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm just going to do it my own way. Well, you do it your way, and let me tell you, you will reap corruption. But if you do it God's way, we're going to reap the harvest. Amen. It's the promise in due time. Sometimes you see the harvest. Amen. I like it when I see the harvest. But there's sometimes you don't see it. It comes after you're dead and gone. But God promises in due season it will come. So church, don't lose heart. Keep on sowing gospel seeds. Who's you one? Keep sowing gospel seeds. Keep sowing gospel seeds. Just keep saying, I've already talked to him, but talk to him again and again. Keep sowing gospel seeds. Keep sowing seeds of forgiveness. You're going to have to do that till you die. People are going to deal with you and hurt you. You're going to have to sow seeds of forgiveness. And if you don't, bitterness will grow. But if you do, God will give the harvest. Keep sowing you giving seeds. You tithe. That's what he's talking to him about here. He says in verse number 6, he said to him, the one who's taught the word is to share all good things with he that teaches him. What he's saying there is you've learned from the church, you ought to give back so the church can continue to go. Keep sharing your tithe week by week, day by day. Just keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. You know, I got my mother down here in the retirement center, and I just got a text just before I walked in here. I got a text from her caregiver. She said, we sure enjoyed the sermon this morning. I've been watching. She said, we get it a week late. Said, if you'd send somebody down here that could help us get online, we could watch live. I said, I can handle that. If you'll let them in, I'll send them down there. And I think about my mother's giving. I mean, from the time I was just a child, she said, you make a dollar in this store, you put a dime or more in that offering plate, and it comes by Sunday morning. If you don't, I'm going to bust your... I mean, it was really more blessed to give than it was not to. She'd deal with you. She's watching. She's sitting up here in the crow's nest, watching in the choir. She could tell when that plate came by if I put anything in. And now I've watched, and she's just been faithful with generation, decade after decade. God blessed her. I want to encourage you that you be found faithful week by week by week, month by month by month. If you're taught, you ought to give back. Amen. That's what we ought to do. Because when you do that, in due time, you will reap the harvest. Keep sowing gospel seeds. Keep sowing forgiveness seeds. Keep sowing tithing seeds. Keep sowing the seeds of good works. Doing good. Yesterday we did good across this county. Our people went and did good. Keep sowing that, sowing that, and sowing that. When we sow that, I'm telling you, the harvest then begins to come. Don't you mock God. Friend, don't you think you can skirt the issue and say, well, I kind of do what I want. You do what you desire to the flesh and you will reap corruption. Now you sow the Spirit, you'll reap a life that'll outlive you. Amen. Preacher, how in the world do you do that? Well, Galatians 5:16 tells us. As you back up to Galatians 5:16, Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't be carrying out the desire of the flesh. You'll walk in the Spirit. You empty yourself of yourself. You get full of the Lord Jesus, and you walk forward. I'm praying, oh God, I'm praying that we'll see the move of God. The last thing, hear me, the last thing America needs this morning is another check from a government agency. What America needs is an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, sin-forgiving, godless cleansing kind of revival in the church that goes to the culture. And I'm praying, oh God, make it happen. What do we sow to get that? Intercession. intercession. You do a lot of good, but let me tell you, the most powerful thing you'll do is pray for the fire of God to fall. I saw it when I was just but a lad. I was 17 years old, and I've been praying from that day till this day. I've been praying, God, do it again. And there's some old-timers around here beginning to pray that way. We need to pray that way. I know what happened on the mountain where I'm from. There were some old-timers. They had about 8th or 9th grade education. But I'm telling you, when they grabbed the horns of the altar, the glory of God fell. And what we need today are some people that are not ashamed to get on their knees and live Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, that he that sows in tears will reap in joy. We're too dry-eyed to have revival. We need to learn to weep again. And when we weep and cry out over the brokenness of our land and our churches and our own homes and our families, when we come to the place of brokenness and weeping and spirit living over that, God will give the harvest. I'm praying, oh God, we need a we need the wind to blow. I was sitting over here in the green room. Liz, I was sitting in the green room, and I got a text from Charlene down at the place, and I looked at it, and then as I went to close, Facebook opened up on my phone, and Charles Carter was preaching at the Canaan Baptist Church in Bessemer, Alabama. He's a guy that did our marriage counseling. He looked as old as Moses. He said, well, preacher, I'd have to be as old as Moses do your marriage. Well, you keep that to yourself. And so I thought about back in those days, and there's Liz and I just getting started, and Dr. Carter, that old man, wide-headed, a little hair, man. He is in that church where he's an interim pastor in Canaan Baptist Church in Bessemer, Alabama. He was just thundering this morning. I was almost late for church because I was listening to Dr. Carter. He preached on four things God doesn't know. That was the title of his message. Say, what are they? I'm not going to tell you because I'm going to preach it later, all right? So just. It's that old man sowed into our life. He sowed into us. You need to be sowing into your kids, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You need to sow. Don't get weary. Sow. Because when you sow, God's going to give us the harvest. It's going to come. Your hope's not in Tallahassee or D.C. Your hope is in heaven. That's the hope of the land. It's the hope of your home. Sow. Sow to the Spirit. Love people you've never loved before. Have joy. Peace. Don't worry. Walk. God's going to take care of you. Patience. Kindness. The only one of those I have to work on. You get to that last one, is my hardest one. It's the only hyphenated one. Self. Control. See, the problem is you can't control yourself. You're not that good. That's the Spirit's job. You say, I just can't shut my mouth. I know. But the Holy Ghost can't. If you learn to walk in the Spirit, that then becomes the natural pneuma, spiritual life that flows through us. But you must sow it before you reap it. But whatever you sow, you will reap. It is the law of spiritual harvest. In a moment, John's going to sing, and when he sings, he's going to sing two stanzas. Knowing those two stanzas, if you're here without Jesus today, I want you to get saved. We're going to have a come forward invitation. Hadn't done this in quite a few weeks. I'm going to stand over here by the table. If you need to come to Jesus, just come right over here. If you need to come join this church, just come. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel too good. Well, then the tables will be out there in the foyer. You can go to Next Step Table. You can still do that. Or you can come after these two stanzas. Or maybe, as some did in the early service, they just came to kneel in this altar and just lay their life before God. I had two or three come say, Pastor, thank you for just letting us come and lay our life before God today. We need to learn to sow. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. That's good too. But this is going to be God's invitation, your heart and in mind. I want you to come. God calls you. Come to be saved. Come to join the church. Had a young 16-year-old boy join the church in early service. He said, Pastor, first time I've had a car, I can come now. I'm coming to join this church. And he's linked his heart with us. Maybe you're like that and you need to come. I saw some people that are here in the early service. It was the first time they've been to this church in 3 months. And it was so good to be back, they said. So good to be in this place. Maybe you're coming home for the first time. You come. Link your life with us right here. Come, we'll tell you how you can know the blessed Lord Jesus. He'll forgive your sin. Wash it white as snow. Begin a new walk with King Jesus. I'm going to pray. Dear John's going to sing back here. After he sings and begins, you step out and you come unto the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for the law of the harvest. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us as a church how to sow to the Spirit. Lord, we so want revival. We want our life to live on. Lord, we pray for the bounty of the Spirit to come. Help us to sow in righteousness so that we might reap the same. Lord, add to this church today. Add to the kingdom today. Thank you for the one that was baptized. Pray others would come follow in like step. We pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together all over this room. We're standing asking the Lord to have his own way in your life and in mine. You come. You come. You come. Dennis is here. I'm here. You make your way and come. I love you.